Yes. Okay. And this is Learning How to Parent in Recovery, and our first speaker is Lisa P.
Good morning, everybody.
Hope you've had coffee. I haven't. Probably a good thing. When I was asked to do this morning on parenting and recovery, it took me back. I've been around the rooms for about 33 years. So my kids are grown up. They've moved out. Well, all of them but one. And I was thinking back to when they were little. And unfortunately, the majority of us have children while we're either in active addiction or right before we become addicts. Is those children, we're told that it's a family disease. And they tend to go through the trenches with us. And, you know, today I'm a counselor, and I counsel people like you and I, and try to get them on the way to recovery. And the one thing that I talk to them about their children is, your kids don't like you when you get clean. But mine didn't like me because now I'm enforcing rules that they've never heard of. You know, sit down, be quiet, pick your toys up, it's not okay to break windows. Because my kids ran amok while I was in active addiction. I pretty much didn't raise my kids in active addiction because I put them off on everyone else. I left them with the neighbor. I left them with grandma. And my kids would scream. I didn't take that as hey, mom, you know, this is not something I want to do. You know, and thinking back, I can remember coming home and finding my daughter, who was 2 years old, in a room with 11 men. Sitting around drinking and drugging. And all I could wonder was what she went through. What happened to her that I didn't know about? You know? And I didn't think as much about it then as I did when I got clean. And when I started working on my own stuff and I started looking at my own childhood, I started really giving thought to what I put my own kids through. You know, where do we learn to parent? We learn to parent from parents. Whether those parents parent correctly or incorrectly, that's where we learn our parenting skills. We may go to church, we may go to school, we see all these adults in our life, but that's not where we learn to parent. We learn to parent from the people in our homes. Maybe it's grandma, maybe it's Aunt Jess, whatever. We learn to parent from the people in our homes. So I was raised with an overly religious Church of Christ mother. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Peach tree limb in one hand, Bible in the other. I was an only child. You know, my mother trusted the deacons of the church too much because they were her brother-in-law. They were also molesting her daughter. You know, and I didn't know how to express what was happening to her. You know, when I would tell her what was happening, she would shut me down and tell me, don't you say stuff like that. He's a good man. So I learned to parent from a very young age without even knowing it was happening. I learned to shut people down. I learned to tell my son at 3 years old to shut it up and be a man. I never said it's okay that you're a little boy. It's okay that you have little boy feelings and you have little boy fears. So when I got into recovery, my kids didn't know how to look at me and say, I resent you. You aren't the person I asked for. You know, I didn't have a mother sitting on the sidelines while I was a cheerleader or while I was playing sports. I did those things alone. I was allowed to drop out of school 7 days after I turned 16 years old to get married. I thought it was an escape. But what happened was, is I left the house as a child. I look back at those pictures, I was a kid. So she felt if she couldn't control me, she'd get rid of me. Well, what did I do? I did the same thing to my kids. I had a little boy and a little girl, and I let them raise themselves. I gave them pets. I gave them dogs and cats, and, you know, I was that parent that let the dog in the... I wouldn't let my kids shit in the floor, but I sure would let a dog shit in my floor. You know what I'm saying? And then tell the kid to pick it up. Because I was in active addiction, and I didn't care about those kids. I loved them, but I didn't care about them. There is a difference. You know, today my daughter is 40 years old and she doesn't like to be hugged. That's my fault. That's not her fault. That's my fault. Today my son is 39 years old and he hugs from a distance. He won't, and I've asked him, I said, Chris, why won't you hug me? He said, I'm not feeling up on my mama. I created that. And both of them have children. And now I have a granddaughter that's about to be 17 years old who wants to be hugged and has a mother that won't hug. Where does that come from? Me. I am the cause of that because parents learn how to parent from parents. We learn how to love people through parenting. We learn how to trust people through parenting. And people in addiction aren't good parents. We think we are. You know, I work in treatment and I have people come into treatment and they think they're parent of the year. You know, I take care of my fucking kids. You do? Yeah. How many DUIs you have? 7. How many times you been locked up? 12. Who you been leaving your kids with? I don't know. I directly affected the lives of my children when I was in active addiction. Even though when I got clean and I entered the rooms, I started dragging them along with me because the people that kept them while I was in active addiction, I lied to them. You know, have you ever used to say, I worked this week, Ma, but I didn't get paid. I worked this week, Ma, but my check bounced. Can you give? Will you give? Will you loan? I promise. I would use the kids as a reason. Well, you know, I need to take him to counseling because he's been crying a lot. Or my son would watch my husband, his father, you know, fight and get angry and strike out and call people names and beat his mother and throw me into walls. And when my son was in early adulthood, that's exactly what he did. It's not just mom's fault. Dads are teachers too. And you know, they say that a child, you have 4 years to imprint what kind of person they may be. Are they going to be loving and caring? Are they going to be mean and hateful and spiteful? What's the easiest emotion to feel, whether you're 6 or 60? Anger. Well, some of us have anger that's directed in, and some of us have anger that's directed out. Some of us punch walls, and others cry themselves to sleep. I'm not standing up here trying to tell anybody in this room that you've been a bad person or a bad parent. You were the parent you were taught to be. Your child will be the parent that you teach them to be. But when you first get clean and you first get sober and you bring your children into the rooms and you start to try to direct them in the right way, they're not having it. They have not been parented. Maybe 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And when you have a 15-year-old stand up here and say, "You ain't fucking telling me what to do," where were you when? What do you say? You do what I fucking tell you to do. You get in this argument. And what's happening is you're going back to when you were that little kid and you were arguing with your own parent. And your own parent was trying to tell you what to do and you were like, "I'm not fucking listening to you." Remember those days? I do. I went to bed last night thinking about this morning and thinking about being that parent in the early years of my recovery. My kids were 4 and 5 when I got clean. I would like to think that they didn't remember most of what happened when I was dragging them through the trenches, but honestly, they remember every bit of it. My son remembers the last day I used because I had him buckled in the back seat of a car with a fatal shot of heroin and was going to drive over the edge into the river. He remembers that. He was 4 years old. So he became a little boy that could not trust a mother. I scared that child to death. But in my mind, I thought I was being the best mother I could be. If I'm going to leave this world, I'm not leaving them behind. If the world is so bad that I have to leave, why am I leaving them behind in it? I'm taking them with me, right? Thank God I had a spiritual awakening that night. Thank God I didn't drive over the edge of that bridge. But the damage was done, people. Because my kids will look at me today and say, "Do you remember when?" And I'll put in old home movies. You know, I had them on 8mm. Y'all have them on freaking CD and DVD and thumb drives and whatever. But I'll pop those in and, you know, it's kind of neat to watch when they can watch themselves as a little kid running around and being defiant. "I won't. You can't make me." It's not easy being a parent in recovery. Most of us enter recovery when we're on probation. We're alone if we're women. Because everybody in our personal life blames the men that we're with for every problem we've ever had. It's always someone else's fault, right? But I'm telling you, it can be done. You can become good parents. And you can teach your children to trust you again. But if you're in your first 6 months of being clean, you've got your work cut out for you. And I would highly recommend that you get professional counseling. Because that child doesn't know how to say, "I'm angry," unless they're striking out. They don't know how to say, "I'm hurt" or "I'm afraid," unless they sit down and cry or beat their head in a wall. But they don't know what a resentment is, right? They don't know how to come up to you and say, "What I really need from you is," because we've never given them permission to tell us what they need. We've always had an environment where we gave pushback and we told them to shut up. What you need is not important to me. We automatically assume that those kids know what how we feel about them too. But if you're sitting in this room this morning, obviously you wanted to hear what we have to say about parenting and recovery. It's the hardest thing you're ever going to do. You can complete parole and probation easier. You know, or maybe your kids have been in state's custody or in the custody of a family member and you get clean and all of a sudden you want your kids back. And they're like, you ain't getting them back. Not right now. Because we teach the people in our lives what to expect from us. Especially if we've been in and out of recovery. In and out of the program. 1 minute you're all four 12 steps and you have a sponsor and you know and you're dropping your kid off now so you can go meet with your sponsor to process a step. And the next minute you've relapsed and you're in jail again. Brooke, I hadn't been looking at you, so if I go over you're gonna have to let me know. Say shut up. I would suggest that if you have kids that are little, or if you have kids that are big, that you set them down and you truly talk to them and you express how sorry you are that you've put them through what they've been through. You own it and you take responsibility for it. And you let that child know that, I understand you're angry with me, you're mad at me, and that's okay. But I love you anyway. I understand that you're afraid, so I'm going to lay right here with you tonight. Women have to stop putting men before their babies. And men have to stop using babies as bait for women. You do it. I know you do. We do it. I know we do. Right? They're not puppies. They're people. I see a lot of beautiful faces looking back at me this morning. I'm really glad that you came in here to listen to what we have to say. I'm speaking from experience. My kids are 39 and 40. God, that pisses me off. And today they will tell me what they need and they will tell me what they think and they will ask me that, you know, they'll use that, oh, you remember Brian, can I have $500? They've learned to not do that. Yeah. But I have a good relationship with them today. My son lives in Florida. My daughter lives 2 miles from me and I don't see her but maybe 10 times a year. That's okay. At least when I call her on the phone, she answers. All right? I did that. She didn't do that. I did that. I have to accept that. I have to accept that I always put men before my kids. Always. And I put my kids in some situations that set them up. I didn't think about it at that time. But as I stand here talking to you, I get cold chills thinking about it. And if I were standing with you while you were fixing to do what I did, I would shake you and tell you, stop! Don't! Because you'll have regrets. I think I'm about out of time. I want to thank you. And if you see me walking around and you have any questions, if you just need to, you women, if you just need to talk to a woman, I'm here. Just stop me. Thank you very much.
I'm Brooke. I'm an addict. So our next speaker, I became a mother in recovery, and her husband actually saw me cry at a meeting one time because my toddler was throwing a fit and hitting, and I was just super stressed out. And this woman reached out to me and said, if there's anything you ever need from me, let me know. And that's how she became my best friend. So everybody, Kayla S.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Kayla, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Kayla.
Ooh, this is nerve-wracking, and I'm looking at y'all, and y'all are looking at me, and this just makes me nervous. But what I've been told is I have a little bit of experience in this department, and I'd like to say that today I have a lot better relationship with my kids than what I did when I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I never know what to do with my hands, you know. So, So, I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in and out since I was 17 years old, and I'm currently 34. And this convention is very important to me. I walked into the convention in February of 2020, and I was completely broken, and I had my kids. And I had lost custody of my kids in 2018, and I had just got them back, but I wasn't doing right. I had manipulated the system. I did what we do to get what I wanted. And I walked into the convention in 2020, and I thought I had everybody fooled. I had my kids with me. Everybody's going to look at me and say, she's doing the damn thing. But what I did is I pawned my kids off on somebody so I could go in the bathroom and get loaded. And I came out of the bathroom, and y'all loved on me. You told me you loved me, and you told me y'all were grateful to see me. And in that moment, and in all those moments leading up to when I got clean, what I realized is y'all had my back way before. Y'all were saving my spot. Y'all were saving my spot so I could come in here and I could learn how to be a parent, because that's all I'd ever wanted. Growing up, I can remember, I just want to be a mom. Because even though me and my mom had a close relationship and she did the best that she could, I never felt connected like I thought you're supposed to. So, I can remember as a teenager, I wanted to be a teen mom. I wanted to get knocked up at 13. Y'all hear me? What? I thought I had it figured out, y'all, as I started my journey and getting high. But it didn't work out in that way. And I always told myself, I'm gonna get a boyfriend, and we're going to do the thing. We're going to have a white picket fence, this, that, and the third. And it didn't work out like that. I thought I had it all planned out. And God said, nah, you don't. And my experience, I got pregnant at 18 by a man that raped me. And I say that because I know I'm not alone in that. I say that because I know there's a woman out there that needs to hear it. And when I got pregnant and I found out, well, that's really the father, I didn't know if I was going to be able to love my child. I was 18. I was on dope. I didn't really have my family because I was at that point where I'd burned all the bridges, right? And I was like, this baby's going to fix it. He's going to fix it. I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to have the white picket fence. I just got to find a baby daddy, and we're going to get married. And God said, no, that's not what we're going to do. So I ended up having my oldest son February 22nd of 2010. For those of you that are bad at math, he's about to be 15. Even though I didn't know what the hell I was getting myself into, that child changed my life, and that child saved my life in many ways before I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And 5 weeks after I had my oldest son, I had a really, really bad car wreck. And that car wreck showed me a new way of how to use dope, and I knew I was home. Because I'd never felt connected, even after I gave birth. I loved my child, but I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know how to bond with my child. So, again, I started pawning my child off on my mother. So when I had my car wreck, I was in a neck brace from my chin down to my belly button, so I couldn't really hold my child. I didn't have the bonding experience like I saw on TV and saw on Facebook and all the things. So after I got my neck brace off and it was time to be a mother, my child would cry because he didn't know who I was without a neck brace. And looking back and through step work, I realized I got a resentment. I didn't get a resentment at my child. I got a resentment at my mother because I was like, how dare you try to show me up? What? That's crazy, ain't it? But we digress. So I would switch from man to man because I wanted the white picket fence. And it's kind of like she shared, I would put men above my child because I needed somebody to love me enough to show me how to have a family because I didn't have that. I came from a broken family, but don't get it twisted. My parents did the best that they could with what they were given. And looking back, I know that I did the best that I could with what I was given. I wasn't a bad parent. I was a sick parent. I was a parent on dope that didn't have a program. I was a parent that didn't have guidance, and that's okay. Because when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, women clung to me and said, let me help you. Let me show you the way because I didn't know the way. So I ended up losing my oldest child, or losing custody of my oldest child. I want to say it was in 2013. I was 23. I was doing dope the way that the hospital had taught me how to do it. And that was the first time that I had felt defeat. Because no matter how much dope I was doing or how out there I was with the man or who I was getting beat by or whatever the case may be, my child was my saving grace. And no matter what, like, I always wanted to come home to my child. And even though I didn't really know how to parent, like, I could keep him alive by feeding him, I could clean him by giving him a bath, but I did not know how to be a parent. I did not know how to love and nature my child. I did not know how to tuck him in bed and give him a kiss and say goodnight. I did not know how to lay in the bed and watch TV because all I knew how to do was get high and to want the next one, right? And so I lose custody of my oldest. I absolutely went absolutely crazy at that point. Like, that's when my addiction really took a toll. I had to leave the state to get right because I was going to end up committing suicide or murdering the people that had custody of my child. One of the two was going to happen. And I left for a couple of months. And I ended up getting a letter in the mail stating that I had abandoned my child. Huh? What? You don't abandon what you ain't got. That's what my mind said. But in reality, I jumped ship and I did what I did. And I did what I was comfortable with, and that was leaving. That was walking away from people that loved me. That was walking away from a three-year-old child that all he wanted was his mother, and I didn't know how to be there. And so I came back. I came back to Alabama, and I got my little ducks in a row. Like a speaker said yesterday, they might not have been looking at, you know, in the same direction, but they were in a row. And again, I didn't work the Narcotics Anonymous program. I came in here, I did what I had to do to get what I wanted. And what I wanted was people to think that I was a good mom by getting custody of my kid. Look at me, I did everything I was supposed to do. So I ended up getting my child back, getting custody of him. And that was in 2015, 2016, and I found out I was pregnant again. And this time I was going to get it right. You know what I mean? I didn't get it right the first time, but I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to have the white picket fence. I'm going to have the husband that loves me, and we're going to do the damn thing. And he's going to adopt my child and my oldest child, and we're going to be great. God said, no, not yet. It's not what we're going to do. I was in the most abusive, most toxic relationship I'd ever been in my life while I was pregnant. I would like to say that I did that pregnancy right, but I didn't. I continued to shoot dope the entire time I was pregnant. I continued to take pills the entire time I was pregnant. And every time I would take a hit or every time I would take a pill, I would look at myself and I'd say, how could you? I can't love my child enough already. How the fuck am I going to love him when he gets here? But in my mind, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And don't get it twisted. Every time I was in and out of the rooms, I had people calling on me, checking on me, texting, posting Facebook. How you doing? We miss you. Please come back. How you doing? Is there anything I can get for you? What do you need for your baby? And all I wanted y'all to do was leave me the fuck alone so I could get high. Right? It didn't work that way. So, I'm pregnant again with my second child. I have custody of my oldest. I'm in a very, very toxic relationship. We played Rock'em Sock'em Robot with each other's face. I can remember I was 8 months pregnant. And we had gotten into one of the biggest arguments that we'd gotten into. And he takes me and he slings me into the wall. And there was a perfect hole in the wall of my belly. And that's fine, right? But my oldest son saw that. My oldest son became to think that it was okay to beat on a woman. My oldest son came to think that it's okay to treat a woman like shit. It's okay to yell and scream. It's okay to throw him into a wall. And in my mind, he loves me. He's going to come back. My love back then was, do whatever you need to do to me today. As long as you come back tomorrow, we can pretend to have that white picket fence. And he told me the whole time I was pregnant, I'm going to be there. We're going to do it. Yay, yay, yay. God said, no, that's not what we're going to do. I ended up having my second son May 29, 2017. And as I'm in the hospital, all I could think about and obsess on was, are they going to test the umbilical cord and am I going to lose my child? Because I had done research while I was pregnant so I could do what I did, so I could do what I want, which was get high. And I did a lot of research. And in my mind, they automatically tested the baby's umbilical cord and he was going to fail a drug test and this, that, and the third, but he didn't. And I want to say this, while I was pregnant with my second child, I became so isolated. I found a new isolation that I'd never seen before because my baby daddy told me, nobody needs to know. Your mama don't love you. You need to get rid of Kendrick, which is my oldest son. And at that time, that's what I thought love was. I do what you tell me to do so you can stay. And I had my second son, and my baby daddy left me at the hospital. How could you? Thought you loved me. There goes my broken home again. I'm not getting that white picket fence. But I chose to stay with him for a whole year after that. And it's a running joke in my household, even with my son that I do share with him. I ran that motherfucker over in my car. You know what I'm saying? That's how toxic we were. It wasn't like a oops, he fell down. It was a da-doon, da-doon, like, that's what you get. And I don't live like that today, y'all. I don't. So it's okay to say that. You know what I'm saying? So I have my son in 2017. My family's becoming broken. Here I am again, desperate, full of dope. And 2018, that's when my life reached an all-time bottom. November of 2018, DHR took my children. Nah, that's a lie. I gave my children to DHR. You want to know why? Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I wanted to get high, and I couldn't love my children enough to not get high. I could not parent. I could not be a good person of society because I did what I had to do, and that was get high. You know, I wasn't a bad mother. I was a sick mother. I wasn't a fucked up mother. I wasn't... Like, I love when people say, he was fucked up, you chose drugs over your kids. Nah, I had to. That was how I survived. It doesn't make me a bad mom. It didn't make me a bad mom then. It made me a sick mom. And if you're struggling with that, and if you're in these rooms and you've lost your kids to the state, you've lost your kids to family, all that, I feel your pain. I've been there. But what I do know is you can get through it without getting high. What I do know is that there are going to be women, including myself, that are going to carry you until you can get to the other side of it. You know how I know? Because it happened for me. So, 2018, I lost my oldest son for the second time, and I lost my youngest son for the first time. And you would think that would be the moment I'd be like, I got to get my life right. The moment they left with my kids, I said, I got to get fucked up. And in that moment, I didn't care no more if I lived or I died. Because, again, my kids were my saving grace. And I say that to say that, like, I thought I was a good mom because I wouldn't leave my house at 2 o'clock in the morning to get dope. But my dope man was coming to me. I did whatever I had to do to get my dope man to come to me. I didn't care if I had to pay you in money. I didn't care if I had to pay you with my body. I didn't give a fuck because I was going to do what I was going to do. And I was going to do what I needed to do, and that was to get high. It didn't matter how bad I hurt my kids. Okay? So 2018, I lose my kids. I didn't get custody of my children back till 2023. And that sounds like an astronomical number, especially to newcomer women, but I needed that time. You know why I needed that time? Because any other time I'd lost my kids, I rushed it. I got clean. I got clean for the courts. I got clean for you. I got clean for my kids. I didn't get clean for me, and I fucked it up every single fucking time, right? So I ended up getting my kids back right at the peak of things were fixing to transition, right? From 2018 to 2020. I come to this convention in 2020. I'm shooting dope in the bathroom. I'm pawning my kids off. Y'all love me. Y'all hug me. Keep coming back. We're grateful to see you. We're glad you're here. In my mind, all I could hear was, get the fuck away from me. You don't love me. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. You don't know shit about me. Doing what we do, right? Finding the differences. So in the 2020 convention, I ended up packing ship and leaving. March of 2020, I lost my kids again. That was pure defeat. I lost my kids, I want to say it was March 13th, I could be wrong, but I ended up getting clean March 18th of 2020. I didn't get clean because I lost my kids. I didn't get clean because I wanted to be this great parent. I got clean because I could no longer live the way that I was living. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of hurting my kids. I was sick and tired of not being the parent my kids needed, because I knew how that felt. I didn't have the white picket fence for myself, and I was incapable of giving it to my kids because I was incapable of getting clean. So I get clean. Time goes by. I'm doing the thing. I'm actually calling folks. I tried to get in treatment. Treatment wouldn't take me because it was COVID, and if you wasn't on heroin, I said, I can do some heroin. Let me find out. That's what I got to do. And then I thought, nah, I better not do that. I ended up dying. So I didn't do that, y'all. I didn't do it. I didn't take the easier, softer way. But I did lay in my bathroom floor, and I did scream, and I did kick, and I did cry. And I said, God, if you see it fit, please let me live through this. Please let me become the parent that I'm supposed to be, because that's really all I wanted my whole life from the time I was 13 trying to get knocked up, right? So I get clean, and I expected. You see me. I see you. Let's get my kids. Hello, look what I'm doing. I've worked some steps. I've gotten better. I ain't never did this, but you didn't know that because I lied the whole time before, right? Right? Yeah. So months passed, and we wouldn't even have a conversation on getting my kids back. How dare you? Do you not know who the fuck I am? I'm Palin. I'm clean. That's never happened before. This is crazy. You don't see me because I see you. Years went by. Still no conversation. What is happening? If this is what parenting or recovery is like, I don't want it because it hurts, right? Shit fucking hurts. I don't care what anybody says. And the whole time I'm expecting getting my kids back, I'm not really working on myself. I'm just doing the bare minimum, laying low, because I wanted you to think that I was a good parent by getting custody of my kids back. What? It's crazy. But it gets to a point where I had to absolutely realize I ain't doing this for them. I have to do this for me. Because what was going to happen is I was going to have these years clean, and I was going to go out the door because I wanted you to see what I was doing so I could get my custody of my kids back, so you could say, good job. Had nothing to do with me wanting to get my kids back. Deep down somewhere it did, but in reality it was more for the bigger picture of what you thought I did. So when I first got my kids back, I wasn't allowed to be alone with them. Let me tell you why. Because when I lost custody of my kids in 2018, they both failed a drug test. Not for one, not for two, but for three substances. And you would think then I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. So years pass. I'm clean. I'm thinking y'all should do me a favor and give me my kids. I finally get to a point where maybe I should do this for me. Because people would tell me, what you going to do when you get your kids back? I'm going to be a mom. How? Because my normal was cooking dope, smoking dope, shooting dope, to the point where my kids failed a drug test. I didn't know what normal parenting was. I didn't know how to put my kids to bed. I didn't know how to give my kids a bath. I didn't even know how to cook a fucking meal. I knew how to pop shit in the microwave and say, go watch TV. I didn't know how to have a bonding moment with my kids. I didn't know how to take my kids somewhere and sit there for hours and just connect. I didn't know how to do that. But don't worry, ladies told me early on, you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to be a fucking parent. Your parenting got you right where you're at. Your parenting skills got you that seat. Your parenting skills failed your kids a drug test. And I said, how could you say that to me? Do you not know who I am? Hello? I say all that to say this. Parenting is such a vital part of my story. Because it's like I said, my kids were my saving grace. No matter how deep in the trenches I was, no matter in and out of the rooms, any of that. My kids have been my saving grace, and my kids are my saving grace today. And I have my white picket fence today. I have that. My husband came into my life when I needed him the most. My husband came into my life when my kids needed him the most. And it's probably not ideal to a lot of people, because if y'all see me and my husband, y'all be like, do they love each other or hate each other? But what I can tell you is it works for us. And what I can tell you, I didn't do this by myself. I did this with an army of fucking women behind me telling me, get the fuck up. It's time to put in work. I did this with an army of women that walked through the same hell that I walked through so they could grab my hand and get me out. And I used to say, while I was going through all the pain of, like, I can't do this, I can't get my kids back, that motherfucker's never going to give them back, and I'm going to kill him and all this shit. Like, what I learned in that is, like, it's okay to take time. I needed that time. Don't rush to get your kids back if you're going through anything like what I just shared. Do not rush it. Build a foundation. Get a home. Maybe not get a man unless you're sure, because, like, I jumped the ship and, like, I came with toxic shit and suitcases and shit, but he loved me through it, and, like, I did get my white picket fence at the end. But if you're not ready, don't rush it. And I say, like, I was able to give my kids, when I finally got them back, I was able to bring them home to a foundation, to a home where they're fucking safe, okay? That was important. That was important to me. My kids don't have to worry if I'm going to leave in the middle of the night. My kids don't have to worry if there's food in the refrigerator. My kid doesn't have to worry if I'm going to get in the car and run my husband over. It'd probably total my car out, but I'm not going to do that. Parenting in recovery is hard, because sometimes I get overstimulated and want to revert back to what I'm comfortable with, which is put them in a room and tell them to shut the fuck up. Get away from me. I don't want to deal with you. Parenting in recovery is hard because sometimes my oldest son knows how to hurt me because I took him through the trenches. Parenting in recovery is hard because sometimes I want to love myself more than I love them. Parenting in recovery is hard because sometimes I want to come to a convention and pawn them off on somebody else so I can get some recovery. Parenting in recovery is hard because it doesn't come with instructions for normal people, but for us, our brain is like, I should have done better. I could have done this. Oh, my God, I screamed at him. I'm not the perfect parent. You know what I'm saying? Parenting in recovery is hard because a lot of times we feel like we need to do it alone. That was my issue. I got clean and I was like, I'm a single mom and I did this and I did that. Recovery allowed me to become vulnerable with somebody that wants to parent with me. I thought the white picket fence with the baby daddy and the husband and this, that, and the third was going to be me raising the kids and me telling you what to do. There was no team in it. It was really going to be like what I wanted, when I wanted it, and you were just going to shut the fuck up and listen. Thank God it's not like that, okay? Because, like, what God's plan was is a lot better than what I had envisioned for myself. My youngest son doesn't remember me using, but he gets on his bus and he'll say, my mama was on drugs and ran somebody over. He thinks it's the coolest shit. And I'm like, we've had the state called on us before, please stop. And my oldest son, when I got clean, we didn't really have a good relationship, because when I got clean, he was 10. And when I got clean, he didn't want nothing to do with me because he was afraid of me. When I got clean, he didn't want nothing to do with me because I didn't know how to be a parent. I didn't know how to talk to him without screaming at him. I didn't know how to hug him and just let him feel my love. And even though he's about to be 15, I would like to think that we have a solid relationship, and I'll tell you why. So it was Thursday. It was Wednesday night of this week. And me and him got into a screaming match because, like, we have this weird conversation every night. It's like, have you taken a shower? Of course. I'm not really sure if you have or if you haven't. Well, he told me he did, and I thought it was a lie, and he got really mad, and he reacted in anger and threw a Pop-Tart across the living room. And if anybody knows me, knows, like, if a crumb's on the floor, I'm not okay. I got to get it up right now. So that triggered me, and I was like, I'm about to fuck you up. And we ended up getting in a screaming match, and then I was like, whoa, we don't live like that no more. So I brought him in the kitchen and I set him down. I said, look at me. What could I have done different to make to have allowed you to feel safe? Because I know you didn't feel safe in that moment because you got angry. We was able to have a 25-minute conversation of what I could have done different and what he could have done different. I didn't do that by myself. Recovery taught me how to have that conversation. It makes me emotional to know that my son feels safe to be able to have a conversation with me. My son feels safe enough to tell me, you made me mad, you hurt my feelings, and this is why. He's also a good manipulator. He said, my birthday's coming up. I'd like $200. That's probably why we had the whole conversation, and I just built it up in my head that it was some healthy shit that God's come down here and done for me, you know? It is what it is. That's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. Recovery's done a lot for me and my children. My youngest son, both of my kids have grew up inside the rooms, and my oldest don't really give a shit about it. He's like, whatever, go to that meeting, get off drugs, do what you do. But my youngest son gets excited, and I'm going to tell you why. So we can go to a meeting, and anybody picks up clean time. Don't matter what color the key tag is. Somebody walks up there, we're clapping. Yeah, 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 we're excited. My youngest son is going to look at me and go, gives me that look, and then he starts screaming, hell yeah, hell yeah, look at them picking up. I'll be like, where'd they pick it up? I don't know. I didn't do that. Y'all did that. Y'all gave him that. Y'all gave him that excitement. You know what I'm saying? I could be mad as hell fixing to cut somebody off in traffic. My youngest son gonna pop up. Trust the process. What did you just say to me? My youngest son gonna tell me about myself real quick. You know why? Because y'all taught him how. My youngest son don't see y'all as pneumatics. He sees y'all as family. You know how I know? Oh, Andrew back there knows. I'm going to tell you. So I bought my son a whiteboard. I know I look like I'm a crackhead up here just walking around. I'm sorry. Anyways, I bought my son a whiteboard because we were going to learn how to read and write. And he said, I want to draw my family tree. I said, all right, cool. He starts drawing all these people, and I'm like, wow, who are they? And he goes, that's Andrew from the meeting. I said, oh. I said, what color is he? He said, brown. I said, oh, is he family? He said, yeah. And then he starts drawing other people. Y'all love me enough to love my children to allow them to feel safe in the rooms. That's parenting and recovery. I don't ever have to do anything alone, ever again. Neither do my kids. My kids have a play at school. We suiting up, showing up. We rolling up deep. Okay? We got a soccer game. We're all screaming, go, Kaiser, go. Before, I thought I had to do that alone, and I don't. That's parenting and recovery. Parenting and recovery is not being okay and able to share that. Sometimes I'm not okay. Sometimes I don't know what to do with my kids. Sometimes I don't know how to talk to my kids. Sometimes I don't know how to show the love that they need. But what I do know is y'all gonna teach me. Y'all gonna guide me. Y'all gonna show me. And what I can tell you, and this is what I'm gonna close with, if you're going through, if you're new to recovery and you have kids and you don't know what to do, lean on us. If you're new in recovery and you've lost your children and you're not ever getting them back, let us carry you through that pain. If you're new in recovery, or maybe you're old in recovery and don't have your kids yet, that's okay. Lean on us. Let us guide you. Because what I do know for 1,000, maybe 1,000,000%, probably higher than that, the percentage is high. That's all I know. Is whatever God's got in store for you, can't no judge take it from you. Can't no probation officer take it from you. Can't no baby daddy take it from you. Can't no baby mama take it from you. What God has for you and what he has in store for you. Suit up and show up. Don't get high. And you're going to get it. That's all I got.